and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. prisoner swap with Russia celebrated in Paris by former Russian detainee and current Team USA basketball player Brittany Griner. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The three Americans are expected to touch down finally back home late tonight, just before midnight, at Joint Base Andrews. There to greet them will be their families, the president, and the vice president. The
freed Americans include Paul Whelan and Evan Gerskovich. A federal judge has overturned a jury's $4.7 billion verdict in the class action lawsuit by Sunday Ticket subscribers against the NFL. Testimony of two witnesses ruled flawed. A wildfire in Colorado's heavily populated Front Range region has burned dozens of homes and outbuildings. A second fire is getting closer to evacuated homes near Denver. A bill to expand the child tax credit and restore some business tax breaks failed to advance in the Senate, largely opposed by Republicans, citing wait till next year. This is ABC News. Turns out thousands of San Francisco marathon runners didn't actually go the distance.
This week, runners who were in this year's San Francisco half marathon received an email telling them the course they ran was miscalculated. Instead of 13.1 miles, they ran 12.6 miles. The marathon says there was a distance calculation error. People flew in to be part of it. Jack Lang ran it and wants to be compensated.
This is one of the most expensive races out there. It's like $230 or something like that to just register for it.
In total, around 3,700 people took part in the miscalculated half marathon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Amazon stock dropped in after-hours trading following a quarterly report showing the company missed revenue estimates. Still, Amazon reported an increase in revenue, web services, and e-commerce business. Next month, Johnny Cash will be enshrined at the U.S. Capitol's Emancipation Hall. The dedicated statue is Arkansas's second statue in the Capitol. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates fighting human trafficking say Wisconsin needs to do a much better job. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
CEO of Zetia Community, Marlene Sorensen, says we need to do better providing services for survivors.
Human trafficking is reported in all 72 counties in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, Wisconsin has a big F in our state response to the issue of human trafficking and sexual exploitation.
Awareness, education, and willingness to be someone's safe space can save lives. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Authorities are going after suspected deer poachers in southeast Wisconsin. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office and game wardens are zeroing in on a 200-square-mile area around Fond du Lac, Dodge, and Washington counties. They're asking for information from anyone who knows anything. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Another loss at home for the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scored two runs in the bottom of the first and nothing after that. They lose to the Braves 6-2. It's the fourth straight series loss at home for Milwaukee, still holding on to a five-game lead over St. Louis. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good.
The Brewers head to Washington to play the Nationals tomorrow night. NFL Packers wide receiver Romeo Dobbs opening some eyes, beating veteran veteran corner Jair Alexander twice for touchdowns. The Wisconsin Badgers continue training camp at UW-Platteville. What's the biggest advantage for head coach Luke Fickell entering year two? Offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
The difference is, though, we have so many people now, so many players in these rooms that know everything. And so the learning curve this year for the new guys is not what it was last year. You know, we still had coaches learning. I mean, I didn't know the restroom was until April.
That's Phil Longo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some evening storms, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Right now it's 76.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. I am back in the host chair with my head examined and Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome. Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, who's, let's get the title right, okay? He is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, NACD.
Very good.
One in a row, Robert, one in a row. I should have practiced. We haven't had you on in a couple weeks, and so much has happened. I'm glad you're on for most of the show today because we have a lot to talk about. Welcome.
Thanks. Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Haley. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, well, let's jump into it. You were up there relaxing up in the deep north, and all heck broke loose here down all here in the 50 states.
It was crazy. So I was in a very serene and sort of spiritual spot on the shores of Gichigami, Lake Superior, and then all this news started to pop all around me. Was around us, and it's really something. And I'm sure we haven't talked for a while, so I'm guessing the big news you're referring to is President Biden stepping aside and supporting Vice President Harris as the Democratic nominee. And I was actually up just north of Grand Marais, Minnesota, which is on what we call the North Shore, the shore of Lake Superior, and there's this little sort of remnants of what was a Native village there, and there's a little clapboard church. I think they call it Chippewa Church or something like that. And you know, it used to be kind of dilapidated, and now they've been fixing it up and investing in it. It was actually open for tours. I've never seen it open before, so stopped in, and it's tiny, tiny little church. But that's where I was when the news broke. I started to get texts like crazy.
Yeah,
the change, and yeah, it was really something.
Well, the governor of Minnesota has kind of gotten a name out there, too, with his CNN interview calling these people just weird. And we know exactly as Minnesotans what he's talking about. But also with things shaking out, who knows, we might have a Native American governor down the road here.
Fingers crossed, right? And I could show you my text within minutes, moments of hearing the news of Biden stepping aside and Harris stepping in as the nominee. I was texting people and I go, yep, it's going to be Governor Waltz. He's going to be the vice president. And he just makes so much sense. I mean, he has, you know, some things on the deficit side, but I think he brings a lot more to the ticket But that's what I was texting everyone. And then Peggy Flanagan, our Ojibwe sister, will be our governor, you know, mm-hmm. and I can't wait.
Well, she's already the highest Native American elected official, governmental official in the United States. So why not?
Why not, right? And she's been preparing for this for all her whole adult life. And I just think she'd be an excellent governor, so authentic. True to the people, much like Governor Waltz, mm-hmm. for sure. And people around me are like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen. Why would they pick Waltz? We're already going to be a blue state. We're not at play. We don't bring that many electoral votes into the mix, but Waltz just brings this identity as kind of the folksy Midwesterner, you know, but he's also very direct, right? And he has an incredible record of progressive legislation that he can lift up, and he's great, and he's known for working across the aisle, and I just think he brings a lot. I think he brings a lot to the table.
Let's talk a little bit about him. When the governor and lieutenant governor first ran, it was at the Indian Center when they announced it, which right. is so cool. And then also Lieutenant Governor, or the governor was the Lieutenant Governor's pupil in the Wellstone teaching group.
Right. So our beloved late Senator Paul Wellstone, they established an institute sort of in his name, Wellstone Action. And it taught people to organize, and amongst other things, it taught people how to be candidates. And Peggy was an instructor there, Peggy Flanagan, no, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, was an instructor at Wellstone Action, and Governor Waltz, before that, Tim Waltz, was in her class. And so she instructed him on how to be a candidate. And I'll tell you, when I was on city council, I served with two or three other city council members who were students of Peggy's as well. And so she excuse me, obviously really knew her stuff and could really train people up to be candidates. And I remember that historic day when Tim Waltz and Peggy Flanagan came to the Minneapolis American Indian Center. Yeah. And you and I were standing shoulder to shoulder at that event. And that's where they kicked off their campaign, their first campaign for governor. Right. And it was just such a proud moment. And I care deeply about our lieutenant governor and have watched and supported her political career. And I remember I was standing there. I think I might have even said this to you. I said, I need to hear the words co-governing.
Yes, you know, yes.
Be co-governing. And I said, if I don't hear him, I'm going to talk to Peggy. I want to hear that. Yeah. Sure enough, they both said it. Governor Waltz, or then candidate Waltz, said it first. But they really had this idea of co-governing. And I think they really delivered on it.
Yeah, I do remember that. And what's interesting, too, Governor Walz was also, was he a representative too, or a senator?
He was a congressman.
In
Minnesota's first congressional district, which is kind of a strip at the southernmost part of the state, a very, very Republican district. And mm-hmm. I think he really showed something by gaining that seat. And it just was, you know, he's a genuine guy. He meets people where they're at, and he makes people mm-hmm. feel comfortable, right? All great attributes for a vice presidential candidate.
Well, I know Haley, she was impressed because when Haley started working with us here on Native Roots Radio, the governor called me by my first and last name and asked how Wendy was. And so I was hobnobbing with the big shots. I got to get a quick selfie just in case he becomes vice president.
You are always hobnobbing with the big shots, Robert. So that
I tell him I know Robert Lilligren.
All right. Right. Well, that's one of the things I've been saying to my circle. When Governor Waltz becomes Vice President Waltz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan becomes Governor Flanagan, we'll have direct access to both the governor and the vice president. And how often does that happen for Native folks?
Yeah, I hope the lieutenant governor doesn't change your phone number because I use it very sparingly. And no, I'm just, but Yeah, excitement galore. And also, we had both Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez on Monday's show, and that was dynamite. And we started the week off with some really political talk, and we're going to be ending it tomorrow with State Senator Mary Kunish. But it's always, I always, even when we're 2 hours on Saturdays, really, really enjoy talking politics with you, Robert. And
And as we kind of wrap up this Governor Walz conversation, or maybe we won't wrap it up, but Walz as a vice presidential candidate, we'll know soon, right? We'll know in just the next few days, mm-hmm. which will be great. But there was a little bubble floated out of the Harris campaign that really echoed this kind of co-governing model that Walz and Flanagan really lifted up. And I thought, wow, that's really close to Walz's language. So I'm taking that as a sign that Walz is penetrating that campaign messaging at the Harris camp.
Hey, we'll be right back. Our camera's frozen. Thank you, Haley, because I still think it's 5:08. And we'll be right back after this short break. Ooh, stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and ENERGY STAR's #1 most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. 952 Windows is part of Loyal Home, founded by some of the Ethics Award-winning former Window Light employees. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top-quality products. Most of their business comes from referrals, so much so that they have been called the best-kept secret in remodeling by their competitors. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952-WINDOWS or visit 952windows.com.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, our Thursday guest. And, you know, I just was thinking back to of our conversations when we were a two-hour show on Saturdays, the conversations we had before we recorded our segment. And I just got to give you a big thank you, a big peeny gee for being able to transfer this to daily the last 3 years. And I couldn't do this show 5 days a week if it wasn't for great content that you bring along and our other guests. And I just want to say a big peeny geegee. It's so important. And Haley and I are in the community and hear how important this show is to the community. Ooh. And as you know, I go all over the country and I hear people listening to the show, not because of me, but because of really great content that you bring in and knowledge, Robert. So a big peeny gee, thank you so much.
No, thanks to you and Haley for your work. And it's fun, you know, it's amazing to me how many people say, oh yeah, I was listening to Native Roots Radio, or, you know, I heard you on the radio and you said XYZ and they want to follow up. I'm like, wow, we have listeners, we have fans.
Yeah. Yes, we do. And it's always, especially at the old AM 950, when we were at the AM 950 studio, and it's in the basement of the studio, and it's just like, I'm talking into a microphone and I don't know where this is going. But then when you get out in community, like you are and Haley and I, and it's like we hear about it. And again, a big peeny giggy thank you. I got to tell you a story quick, Robert, and we'll get a comment. So when this switched, when Joe, you know, I gave up the election and then turned it to Vice President Harris, I was worried. And the worry, it only lasted like 5 or 6 hours when I started watching TikTok and all the great stuff that was happening. And then all the people that came across and supported Vice President Harris. And we didn't have a repeat, and you and I love history, we didn't have a repeat of 1968 Chicago Convention.
Right. That idea of an open convention, and I, you know, that's a bit of a concern. I think technically it might still be considered an open convention, but clearly Vice President Harris has the support and the delegates to gain the nomination. And now it becomes very technical, right? It's kind of rulesy, and as we lead up to her actual endorsement and nomination. And but yeah, no, I, the minute I heard it, I gotta tell you, Robert, I was elated. I had no worry at all. It was just like, it felt like a huge weight was lifted off, and all respect and gratitude to President Biden. I mean, he's just had an amazing career and done amazing things. And then did this kind of selfless act, right, of stepping aside when he didn't really have to. But, you know, I have a hunch that President Biden had to be shown multiple paths for Harris to win before he would be comfortable stepping aside. And so I've seen a little bit of analysis. There's something they call the Great Lakes Path to Victory, and it's where the Great Lakes states all go for Harris, and she can get to the Electoral College victory. And then there's what's called the Sun Belt.
Oh, we just lost Robert.
Well, lightning and thunder happening all over the place. Hey, I just want to remind everyone too that, you know, we're streaming on all social media, and we're back on X. Once we heard, Haley and I heard that the owner of X wasn't giving the orange one $45 million a day, we went back on it. So good job on that, Haley. We're picking up steam again. We're getting a lot of people watching us on X, and you know, what my next question to Robert when he comes back on was just, you know, again, I'll have this conversation with you, Haley, is that I was like watching TikTok when I started feeling better. And then I'm feeling better about my job too, which is really weird. My real job, not my, fake radio job, about things that can go smoothly again. So totally excited. Hey, Robert, are you a trickster? Did you just morph into something here?
What happened? My Google Chrome just shut down on its own. So maybe someone's listening into our conversation and sabotage that. I apologize for that.
Well, I was talking to Haley when you were gone for a second, and one of the things really that was really fun, I talked to Haley, and I've mentioned this many times now on the show, is that I talked to Haley the next day, and I said, oh my gosh, the Gen Zs are coming in. There's over $50 million in just a few hours. And Haley said, I donated. And I was like, wow.
Good for right you. On.
Yeah, that was the first time I've ever donated any type of dollar amount to any presidential campaign, or probably any campaign in general. But really, a lot of these donations came from people with small donations, small dollar donations. And when, you know, we talk about a lot of Americans facing struggling with finances right now, not able to put food on the table for families, not able to get bills paid, accumulating debt, because that's the only way we can pay for things right now. So when we put, you know, $5 or $10 towards a candidate, it's really because our futures are on the line. And we would like to be able to have a president who opens up the economy for younger generations and younger people entering the workforce. And, you know, just hopefully one day Gen Z is able to buy the houses and have the families that we want and be able to afford to do that.
Beautifully put, Haley. Good for you for contributing. It's amazing. I think the big chunk into the hundreds of millions of dollars that Harris was able to raise in just the first, you know, few hours or few days of the campaign, I think the average contribution was $20.
Wow.
So it just shows you who's really, you know, that's actual for real, like you were saying, Haley, grassroots support. And I think that's just super exciting.
Well, and then I was
excited about.
Totally. And I was going up to a bed and Wendy said, I gave 50 and I didn't really know what she meant. She said, I gave $50 to the Harris campaign. And I said, right on. And we were big Bernie supporters. So whenever we heard Bernie, I think his average was something like $28 or something. Whenever we saw Bernie or saw him in person or saw him on TV, we donated $28. Nice. But now we're ready here for the new wave here. And, I am really excited, and I was telling Haley when she was gone that this has really uplifted, like, what I do for a real job, too. I didn't know I had kind of a little gray cloud over my head until this, and I've been really kind of skipping and jumping around and thinking it might be a combination of this and some other things, but this for sure.
I agree. I felt more hopeful than I have about the political climate for years, about the future of our country. And to Haley's point, the biggest voting block coming up is young people, right? And so please, here's my request to you, Haley, and people of your generation, please save us, please.
Yeah.
We're working on it. We will be coming in hot.
I love it.
Well, absolutely. And they are coming in and it is a big thing. And even though, it was maybe a lackluster Gen Z happening. They were going to definitely take over the boomers in numbers this next election. But now it sounds like big numbers. And,
right.
You know, that also reminds me too, Robert, how important it's always been. But, you know, how important and how great do we have some organization like Rock the Vote Native Style to lean on?
Agree. And getting these Native votes out. You know, we do democracy work at NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, through our Make Voting a Tradition project. And it's just super energized and more resources are nonpartisan. We do nonpartisan work, but more resources are coming into our work. And I'm trying to remember the number, but in just a few days after the change of candidates, voter registrations had increased something like 700%.
Yes.
And that's people that weren't voting, right? Those are new voters. And that's a game changer in the outcome. And I'm like you, Haley. I'm like you, Robert. I mean, you know, as soon as it happened, I said to my husband, I said, okay, now we're going to really have to give. We're going to have to get involved. We're going to have to volunteer. You know, this is for real. This is very winnable.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, I don't remember what the statistics was, but when you said we have to help out, and there was a big landslide of people signing up to help, too, in the beginning of this, and it's still happening.
It is. It's super exciting. And again, so no disrespect to President Biden. I told all respect to him, but it's there's a new excitement.
So we got like a minute or so left here, and I want to bring up the orange one in Chicago yesterday. And Haley and I were having a little, I guess I can't say it on air, but we were having a little chuckle. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that absurd things that were said. And does he really want to win the presidency? Like,
doesn't seem like it. It seems like he's narrowing and narrowing his base of support every day. And it's like, keep it up. And he's just trying to pull the attention back to him, right? And pull the news cycle back to himself. But I don't think it's going to work.
No.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. prisoner swap with Russia celebrated in Paris by former Russian detainee and current Team USA basketball player Brittany Griner. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The three Americans are expected to touch down finally back home late tonight, just before midnight, at Joint Base Andrews. There to greet them will be their families, the president, and the vice president. The
freed Americans include Paul Whelan and Evan Gerskovich. A federal judge has overturned a jury's $4.7 billion verdict in the class action lawsuit by Sunday Ticket subscribers against the NFL. Testimony of two witnesses ruled flawed. A wildfire in Colorado's heavily populated Front Range region has burned dozens of homes and outbuildings. A second fire is getting closer to evacuated homes near Denver. A bill to expand the child tax credit and restore some business tax breaks failed to advance in the Senate, largely opposed by Republicans, citing wait till next year. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Five student groups at UW-Milwaukee are being suspended temporarily for some anti-Semitic social media posts. The school is linking the groups to social media posts it calls alarming. UWM says the posts use intimidating language aimed at Jewish community members and organizations that support Israel. Details are trickling in slowly about Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Eau Claire next week. Here's James Kelly.
Harris and her running mate will visit the region on Wednesday afternoon, although an exact time and host location has yet to be revealed. The campaign plans to announce who will be her running mate on Monday. According to an Associated Press report, Vice President Harris is planning stops with her running mate in seven swing states next week. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It was not all innocent fun at Comic-Con last week in San Diego, California. The comic book fan convention grows in popularity every year. This year, however, law enforcement executed a sting operation and arrested 14 people on charges of sex trafficking and rescued 10 potential victims, one of which was 16. A representative for the Comic Book Culture Convention told Entertainment Weekly that the arrests were made outside of the event. Poker players and moviegoers alike will be interested in this. Matt Damon dropped hints on The Rich Eisen Show about a possible sequel to his 1998 film Rounders. The film was not a box office darling, but has gained fans over the years, most likely through the growing popularity of Texas Hold'em. Damon plays a graduate student who promises his girlfriend he will quit gambling, but gets sucked into helping his friend, played by Edward Norton, pay off a debt to a Russian gangster, played by John Malkovich. Let's see if the studio goes all in or folds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some evening storms, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Lynn for Oconomowoc.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah, it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll welcome Batman, Matt Rothschild, our good friend, and we'll air the grievances. You're going to want to listen. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, 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 we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Before we get going into a dark circle here the orange one said yesterday, I want to talk something super positive, and we have something going on here at the gallery, All My Relations Gallery, very soon here, and I wonder if we could just talk a little bit about that, Robert.
Yeah, sure. So there's an artist, their professional name is Jay White, Jennifer White, and they put up a beautiful show. It opens on Saturday at All My Relations Arts Gallery. If you're in the city, it's right on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it is stunning. It is a stunning show. It's all mounted. The gallery looks great. We have a little preview tomorrow for some funders and media. And then the big show opens on Saturday. And it's so exciting. It's kind of this haunting. I don't know if you've seen any of the images yet. Mostly Kwe, mostly women, very kind of haunting, powerful haunting images. And I'm very excited to meet the artist and to see how people was, oh, perfect. Thanks, Haley. Yeah. I mean, isn't that something? That is so striking, that painting. And so they're all kind of in that similar vein. And one of the exciting things, Angela Two Stars, the All My Relations Arts director and a famous public artist in her own right, and her goal is to sell out the show, to sell every painting on the show. And I'll tell you, before we could even get the show up on the walls, they were just kind of moved around the gallery, kind of placing them things. Three of them have already sold before the show opens, before the paintings are even on the walls. So I would encourage folks to come out. I know it's such appealing and compelling work.
Well, Haley, you're going to have to get down there because, you know, tomorrow we're not supposed to talk about this in an Indian way, but I'm going to be a Choka here tomorrow. So I'll be MIA for most of the early evening. So,
yeah, I plan Haley, on attending.
Cool. Yep, tomorrow night. Great. Yep. We'll see you there, Haley. I'll be there too. It should be really something. And you know, it's interesting. I was in conversation with Angela Two Stars and one of our funders and kind of lifting up the work that we've done. And one thing that Angela said, and she's such a thoughtful person, I mean, she's just amazing. And she said, we really try to cater the shows to the artist's needs. And so for this artist, she is trying to lift up sort of a commercial presence, right? So selling her paintings is really important. For the last show, Frank Buffalo Hyde, another stunning show, he was very interested in having museums acquire his art. And I think we were able to secure one museum, or he was through the gallery, one museum acquisition and two or three other inquiries about acquiring his paintings for museums. And so again, it's just that idea that All My Relations Arts is a tiny little gallery, but it has had major impact on a lot of people's careers.
What a great example. And what you just said there about museums and personal collectors are already swooping up on the past couple exhibits. My goodness.
Right. And even if you look at Angela Two Stars and her brilliant career, you know, she had her first public non-student show at All My Relations Arts, you know, one piece in a show. She participated in artist talks and things. Then we invited her back to curate the brilliant and chilling Bring Her Home series. And based on that performance, we were able to hire her as the gallery director. And since then, her career has just continued to explode in a very good way. And that's our mission, right? At NACD, And at All My Relations Arts, it's developing that capacity, supporting people along their journeys. And so it's just, it's so rewarding to be part of that.
Yeah, you must be a proud uncle. I mean, seriously.
Very much.
I really, when Haley and I are in your office or in the corridor there or at Powell Grounds, we really feel, you feel the vibe. You really, really do. And people are happy to be there and are on a mission that is so beautiful.
I love that. And I feel so privileged every day to go to work with these incredibly talented, mostly young Native professionals and helping them, NACTI, helping them along their professional trajectories. And yeah, it's a joy.
Wow. 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 Geez, that's awesome. And we'll be bringing that up. Haley and I will bring it up again in the last segment, but, let's go back to the dark side here and talk a little bit about George one being in Chicago, the ridiculous things that he said. And
right.
My goodness, the ABC reporter did not take no for an answer and really did a great job. And I'm happy to say that because I'm very critical of the mass media.
Sure. Well, you're kind of a practitioner of it, though, too. So that's interesting. But right, Trump was interviewed at the National Black Journalists Association in Chicago, and he just said hideous, hateful, racist, outlandish things, questioning Kamala Harris's identity, racial identity, you know, just in this kind of framework that white people have been doing for centuries, trying to impose their views of what people's identities are, define people that aren't them. And it was just vile and shocking. And it certainly is not attracting undecided voters. You know, so keep it up. But it is, it's really sad to see that in the national discourse, anyone would say something like that, let alone a former president. And it's really, I think, helping our side.
It's an interesting point that you bring up too, because I haven't heard it a lot lately, but when I was younger, I used to hear it a lot. It's like, people would just randomly go, well, how much Native are you? You know,
oh,
it's
right,
like, what does
right.
that matter? Enough to kick your, oh, never mind.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree. When I was on city council, I once had a reporter, high profile reporter in the city, shout across a restaurant, Maria's Cafe, right there in the American Indian Cultural Quarter. And he said something like, what's your blood quantum? Or something like that. And
oh,
like,
wow.
Oh my God. And he just yelled it across the restaurant. I thought that is so rude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a similar experience with a local Twin Cities reporter, and I'm not going to say where, but she did come up to this small group of Native Americans that were in the room and asked us how much money we each get a month.
I hate questions like that. It's so ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you educate, you do your best, but.
Right.
It does get a little tiresome.
Well, and two, we got to remind this in a good way to our listeners out there. And I've experienced visually and personally in the last month, somebody just randomly coming up and grabbing my medallion. You know, and then there's a friend of ours, Corey Medina, who handled it. He's a musician and handled it very well. A person grabbed his ponytail and she thought that was okay. Yeah. And it's just like he's schooler in the fact that we're not that white people feel privileged to do things like that and please don't do it. And he was really calm, but it was really powerful what he said. He didn't go off, but just that, you know, we're still here. We're not zoo animals and things like that.
Right. We're not here for your amusement.
Right. Right. Only when we're joking around here on AM 950.
Right. Right. Well, and I'll tell you, Robert, I just love that you said that because one of the things I've really observed really fairly recently, maybe in the last half year or so, and I'm in groups of Native people and, you know, we might be in policy conversations or trying to find solutions or ways to address some of our really dire needs in our community. But one thing that has really struck me lately is how much laughter is in those rooms. And to me, that just really feels very indigenous, and it feels very much like we're reclaiming our tradition, our traditions, right? And that's kind of what Native people do. We laugh, right? Laughter is medicine. And even when you're dealing with very difficult circumstances, the fact that people can laugh, and I've noticed it in staff meetings, community mm-hmm. meetings, leadership meetings, policy meetings, there's just so much laughter now. And that makes me feel really good.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the old saying is it always gets the darkest before sunrise. And we had a dark period there during COVID. And I think we are still shaking it off. But, you know, we just started doing things in person just last year, right?
Right, right. And it's almost hard. There's that time, you know, flex that happened during COVID. And so sometimes it's hard to even remember.
Right.
But how different life was before and what life is like now. And yeah, there were good lessons to be learned through that COVID era. Still learning them.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that, you know, in the last year, you were talking about the last 6 months, but I'll say the last year, people are so excited to get out again and really are in full force. And, you know, the opening, we've talked about this, but the opening of the Indian Center was amazing by how many people that I haven't seen in years or quite a few years that were there. And it was unbelievable.
Agree. And then just how this continues to build. I don't know if you saw the recent stories about, I'm trying to look up the name of the, I lost all my tabs that were open when my Google Chrome shut down, but it's like a young Native designers camp. And they were at the Indian Center this week. There's a great story in Minnesota Public Radio about it. Sam Oblikson, who's my friend and my boss, essentially chair of our board, chair of the Indian Center board, a really renowned Native architect. But they're bringing young Native people in to learn about design, to do some practical hands-on things with the idea of in 5-10 years, whatever, building out a bench of more Native architects, more Native designers. And it's such a joyous thing to see.
Yeah. You know, we feel bad about a lot of things in our history, but we also have a lot of good things that are happening in our community and a lot of good people rising to the occasion. And I agree, Robert. Thank you so much for bringing this to us and to our
thank
listeners.
Thank you. Miigwech, Haley, Miigwech, Robert. It's always good to be here. Gigawatt.
We'll see you soon, Robert. That was Robert Lilligren. And hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
The Powderhorn Art Fair is celebrating 33 years of community and local art on the weekend of August 3rd and 4th. This year's event will be the biggest yet with a record number of artists and vendors. Over 190 local and regional artists will exhibit their work, offering diverse art from clay and digital art to jewelry and woodwork. Floral and garden vendors will bring extravagant bouquets and blooming artistry to the park. And the Powderhorn Art Fair will highlight local businesses, arts nonprofits, and eco-conscious upcycle artists. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a casual buyer, there's something for everyone. Plus, enjoy sweet and savory treats from more than 20 food trucks. There's the kid-friendly family zone, packed with creative activities. And don't miss the on-site DJ providing vibrant sounds throughout the weekend. The Powderhorn Art Fair is free to the public with proceeds supporting PPNA community initiatives. Make plans to head to the Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 3rd and 4th from 10 to 5 at Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis. More at powderhornartfair.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. And we got a few things to talk about, but I just want to say, Haley, too, it's always so great to have our guests come in and really hit home runs with their knowledge and their background. And we're just blessed here at Native Roots Radio to be able to amplify all these great voices.
Yeah, really. I've learned so much over just the past year of being on the show from all of our guests, but, you know, just getting to know our weekly guests over the year, it's been, you know, it's had a huge effect on me. So I'm very grateful as well for our guests.
Yeah, right on. Hey, we got a few things going on this weekend, and we'd like to talk about it and get people fired up prior to it. So today's a really good day to talk about some of these things that are happening. Haley, I know there's something happening down in the Upper Sioux community.
There is, yeah, lots of really great things going on in our community during these upcoming next 2 weeks. This weekend, the Upper Sioux Community Powwow will be happening Friday through Sunday, August 2nd through 4th in Granite Falls, Minnesota. It's free admission and everyone is welcome. Grand entry times will be 7 p.m. Friday, 1 and 7 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Everyone's invited, so if you're listening to us by Granite Falls, stop in and stop in and support the vendors out there and, you know, anything out there for sale. Always a good question, especially with the state fair coming up. Ask people who made this and what tribe are they from and where are they from, and start a conversation. And believe you me, if you ask a Native American that, they'll be proud to tell you where it is. It's the people that are stealing our art and not doing it in a good way will not be able to say who they're related to or who they're married to or any of those things.
Keep an eye out for those mass manufacturers that attend some powwows. I heard that this happens a lot in, you know, I see it sometimes in Minnesota at powwows, but I heard it happens a lot in California and at their powwows, which is interesting. But yeah, always look for those Native designed items and local vendors and ask who made it. Because sometimes, you know, the people vending aren't the ones that made it, but they would love to tell you more about the artist.
Absolutely. And that's what we do a lot at Native Roots Trading Post, which will be at the State Fair. And we're sharing a booth out at Shakopee at their huge powwow a week before the State Fair. And Choka Pilot will be very tired at the end of that. Hey,
yeah, we're going to have some fun.
You know, our friends, too, at Wakan Teepee you know, are in the east side of St. Paul are going to have their pollinator festival again in August. And I know that was super fun because they had a lot of music involved with that too last year. And it looks like they are again this year.
Yeah, I saw that same thing. So I wasn't able to attend last year, but I'm hoping to go this year. Con Tipi Awanyankapi, formerly known as Lower Fallon Creek Project, is a Native-led East Side St. Paul environmental stewardship nonprofit centered in Dakota values. And they're hosting another pollinator festival on Sunday, August 11th at Fallon Park Amphitheater from 10 to 4:30 p.m. There will be music and dancing performances by Kobe Jordan, Downtown Jada Brown, our friend, Jada Lynn, and more. And you can learn more at wakantipi.org.
Yes, yes. Make sure you go there. That's just a really fun. And, you know, Walk on Teepee used to be known as Lower Creek, Lower Phelan Creek Project on the east side of St. Paul. And then our friend Maggie Lorenz became the CEO of that and kind of changed it. And I know when I was a teacher, we brought a lot of students down there to plant plants and, you know, sage and berries and trees and things like that, because that area was by the railroad, by the Mississippi River, and was so polluted, and they had to bring tons and tons and tons and tons of fresh dirt down there to really reclaim it in a good way. So things are happening under her direction and the people that are on the board and the people that work for Walk on Teepee. And they're a person that we'd like to have on the show and talk about their work, because it's amazing to watch a lot of great things. Like we were talking with Robert Lilligren, a lot of great things happening here. We got to keep the eye on the prize.
Yeah, very educational. I know that they do a lot of nature-led walks with, like, talking and just giving out information about the land and what kind of native plants are growing there. So definitely check that out, Walk on Teepee in St. Paul. Our friends at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center are doing something new. MIWRC will be hosting a women's luncheon. Two dates so far will be Thursday, August 8th and Thursday, the August 22nd from 12 to 2 p.m. at the MIWRC Community Room in Minneapolis. And you can learn more at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Yeah. It's just an amazing, thinking back, and I was kind of reminiscing in the beginning of the show, Haley, you've been with us over a year, and we've had Zoe Allen as a producer, and Ogama, and all, and we got to take a picture with the former producers of Native Roots Radio, along with me, and just thinking of the history and the good things that we try to do here, and the community, like Robert, it was cool to hear Robert say the community is out there listening and supporting, and so we're grateful. This is our eighth year being on the air, and I can't believe it. And it's because of the support and people supporting our sponsors, which is really, really huge. We hear about that, and you know, we got anywhere from a window place person now doing advertising on here, and we also have our friend with concrete. You know, give that number out again. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. Chuck Monet at Native Concrete and Masonry. You can call him at 612-597-0421. He really knows his stuff, too.
Yeah, he's was brought up into it. His father, it's handed down to his father. And it's great. True crafts people, you know, craftsmen, craftswomen. I wouldn't know how to lay concrete down. I'd probably be heading towards my house and flooding out my house every time it rained. And we've been getting a lot of rain, so I think about these things.
Right. Yeah, it really is the community. Like, we wouldn't have all this great content if it wasn't for our guests and people, boots on the ground in community. And, you know, we just are happy to amplify the good work that's going around Indian country. And speaking of good work, last thing I want to get in here quickly. American mm-hmm. Indian Education is supplying free backpacks and school supplies for Minneapolis American Indian students. You can pick these school supplies up for free on Monday and Tuesday, August 12th and 13th at both Minneapolis Davis Center and South High School. Again, American Indian Education will be supplying free backpacks and school supplies on the 12th and 13th.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. I know St. Paul does this, and I know the local tribes do that for their urban and Indians. And I know we do at Ho-Chunk, too. We support our youth with a nice backpack and some materials. So it's awesome that we're helping ourselves and helping others, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it is in the Native community. So,
news from the center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We learn more details about President Biden's efforts to free hostages held in Russia. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.